Good morning. How are you guys this morning? And so just a heads up to moms, we have all of the croissants and all of the pastries and all of the tasties and all that kinds of stuff. It's out in the lobby. So make sure if you didn't get any of that on your way in that you can get that on your way out because I don't want to eat it all myself. You know what I mean? And so let's do that. Well, let me tell you a story here. Whenever I first started walking with Jesus, whenever I first got into to my youth ministry, remember that story? If anybody has heard my story, I got invited by a friend to youth group, and then I turned my life over to Jesus. What Scripture says, got saved. I went all in with God. I was no longer spiritually disconnected. I gave over all of that to God. And that life, that previous life that was there was a life that was a partier with drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because that was kind of the lineage of my family, and that was just my natural inkling for sin. But whenever I turned over my life, I went home and I threw away all the stuff that was garbage in my life, and then I was like, yeah, I'm all in. Here we go. And then I got plugged into my youth ministry, and it was great. But then sometimes here and there, there would be those times of temptation. And one of the things that it's a really good study is like, man, how does God talk to us? And we're going to get into that today. But specifically for me, I was like thinking to myself, whenever I got invited to a party by some friends that weren't really walking with Jesus, and I knew what was going to be at this party, I was like, kind of started to think about it. God, do you want me to go to that party? I can be a witness to all those people. I can tell them about Jesus. And all the while, I was thinking inside myself, well, I know I'm going to be facing some temptation. Am I okay to go and surround myself by that? And so I was like, I got out my keys, and I had a door key that I had just loaned to a friend. They came over and fed our animals whenever we were gone the past weekend, something like that. And I got this key, and I got my keychain, and I'm like, okay, God, if I put this keychain, because is anybody normal and sane and you put your keys all facing the same way on your keychain? Is anybody insane and doesn't do that? Okay, cool. I know who I'm speaking to this morning. It's good. So I got my keychain and I got my key and I went to go put it on. I'm like, okay, God, if I somehow don't put this key on the right way, I won't go to the party. But if I put it on, I'll know that you're speaking to me, God, and that I should go and be this witness. And I put that key, and I line it up, and I start sliding that key around, and I click it into place, and I'm like, ha, and I look, and I kid you not, that key was facing the opposite direction. Okay, God, I get it, okay. Another time I can think of, this was down the line, I'm not proud of this. When I was in high school, before I was walking with Jesus, I would go and take my mom's car to go to college parties. I got saved, okay? I didn't do it anymore. Don't judge me. But there was this one time where I was thinking, my ride fell through for this specific thing, and I really wanted to go to it, and I was like, okay, well, my mom's already asleep, and so, it'd be fine. It's just right across the town. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And so I grabbed my mom's keys and I went to the car and I got in the car and I turned on the car. Okay, and my heart's kind of beating because before that wouldn't have even crossed my mind, but now it's like conviction was there and I was like, should I really be doing this? And I turn on the radio and I kid you not, AC/DC's Back in Black was playing. Back in Black. The chorus, I turned the key off, I went inside, and I dropped the keys back into my the keychain holder. Now, why do I tell you these? Well, because any of these moments, does God speak to people like this all the time? I don't know. I don't know. I can clearly remember those times and those moments. It was almost miraculous. But if we're looking for those miraculous every time we want God to speak, we're gonna miss it, right? Is that the only way that God speaks? I'm just going to tell you, no, it's not. We're going to be going through that. But here's the deal. Maybe the better question to ask, all of us to ask, is this: how can I be confident in knowing what God wants me to do? How can I be confident in this? And last week we started this series talking about confidence. How can we have this confidence? And we talked about the Great Commission. Well, it goes further. How can I trust God not just with what I do today? How can I get to a point where I can trust God with what I give God every day and always and with my life? I think that's definitely a more practical question for us to ask. How can I have confidence in this? And it's the question that would apply to each of us. And so last week specifically, we learned that Jesus gave the disciples a purpose for life, for a passion and a pursuit. And the opportunity for everyone to know and follow Jesus was that mission, was that that opportunity that they were jumping into, going and taking it out on the highways, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always until the end of the age. That's what we talked about last week. Well, they knew that this was going to be difficult, and they were nervous about it, right? The disciples were nervous to take God's message out on the highways and take it everywhere. And so he told them two things to give them confidence, and we're kind of going to be talking about that today. He says, all authority in heaven on earth is Jesus's. And so if we're following Jesus, that authority is available. And then he said, and I'll be with you always. Now, here's what's kind of wild about this. When Jesus said, I'll be with you always, or I'll be with you until the end of the age, I'll be with you every step of the way, what's really wild is the very next thing that happens, like legit, as soon as Jesus said that, he ascended to heaven and left. Like, wait, you said that you'd be with, how can Jesus physically leave them and then still be with them always? And how does that give them confidence to do what God wants them to do? Well, we're going to be talking about something very specific this morning, and I want to point to parents before I get any further. Again, we are in this series where we are going hand in hand with what our students, what our kids are learning downstairs, and this is a great opportunity for families to continue that discipleship and continue the opportunity to, you know, teach your kids and also be learning at the same time. And so there's some great resources that are down there. So parents, if you missed this resource, a nice little parent resource pamphlet with Grace Church. And then also there is a magnet that you can actually have, put it right on your fridge. This QR code that's right here will be consistently updated with more and more content that helps you partner, helps us partner with you as those that are discipling your kids. And so all that to say, what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about how Jesus continues to be with us till the end of the age. A few weeks ago, Pastor Ken was up here and he talked about the father with a demon-possessed son, and Jesus asked if he believed. And do you remember his response, the father's response? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. Dad said, I believe, but I need help with my unbelief. And so Jesus told him to bring the son over, and the father at least believed enough to do what Jesus said, to at least bring the child over. And so trusting Jesus enough to do what Jesus said is enough. All right? That's the first thing. If you're taking notes, trusting Jesus enough to do what Jesus said is enough. Now, how does Jesus' promise of never leaving us work? Well, we're going to be in John 14. So if you have Bibles, your Bible apps, the stuff's going to be on the screen, all that kind of stuff. But if you have that right in front of you, you can highlight. If you have your Bible app, it's free, the YouVersion Bible app. If you need a paper Bible, we actually have paper Bibles that you can grab on your way out if you would like to have, you know, something in your hands. But we're going to be going through John 14, specifically how Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. This is an incredible topic. I think one that is going to take some good study, not just head study, but heart study, for us to really truly grasp and understand how God is moving in this way. All right, John 14, starting in verse 15, says this. He says, this is Jesus talking, kind of important, said, if you love me, obey my commandments. So again, the prerequisite here that you love God and trust him enough to obey him, trust him enough to do what he says. That's faith. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, Okay, so advocate, two things here. He's an advocate. Jesus is this advocate. He's saying, I'll give you another advocate. Jesus is this advocate because he works and prays and does things on our behalf, not specifically what we want all the time, but definitely what we need, okay? So just a nice understanding there that Jesus as our advocate, and he says, I'll give you another advocate. Verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I love this idea, okay? It's because again, as we kind of talk about like what the Holy Spirit does, as we go through this, it's crucially important to kind of know the history of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like one part of the Trinity. This is like a Christian doctrine that's kind of like, you're going to have to buckle up, okay? Figuratively buckle up right, real quick. Go ahead, put your seatbelt on, click it. Okay, we're good, okay? Because if we do some jarring here, you're not going to lose it, okay? The Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God that has always existed, three in one. And like, it's kind of hard for our brain to even fathom this, but like, it's kind of hard for our brain to even think of the word eternity and really truly understand the depths of that word. We just put a word for something sometimes that our finite brain can't understand. And so in the Old Testament, this one part of the Trinity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our triune God in one, came on to people to do kind of specific things and specific roles. In the Old Testament, you might like read stories of Gideon or Samson or Saul or David or Elijah or Elisha or some of these different prophets or judges or different things. And the Holy Spirit would come on them specifically to accomplish or complete something specific or give them power to be in a specific role that they were doing. And then here we go. Jesus is talking about this Holy Spirit will be in you. He's talking to all of his disciples. And so let's keep reading in verse 18. He says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, though, but you will see me. Since I live, you also live. Verse 20, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So here's the deal. Jesus continuously talks about this idea of God being in us, us being in God, God being in us. And how will we be in Jesus and Jesus in us? Because the Spirit will be in us. The Spirit first shows up in Genesis 1. Like, this is all the way back to the beginning. The history of the Holy Spirit can be found legit in the second verse of the Bible. Like, legit. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Like, the Spirit of God was present in creation. The Spirit of God was present in God's hand and moving and different things. And God's Spirit is present straight up in this room right now. Genesis 1:26 says, then God, singular, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. The triune God speaking of you and me being made in the likeness of God. There's one God who exists in plurality, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All of creation even reflects some of these trinity of trinities. I'm getting a little geeky, so you guys ready? When it comes to the time, space, and matter, nice little trinity there. Time being past, present, and future, a nice beautiful little trinity there. Space, like as far as like, you know, matter in space, you kind of have measurements of height, width, and depth. Nice little trinity there. And then even matter itself can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Nice little trinity there. It's beautiful because you see this beautiful design creation like everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all over the place in this beautiful design. And so again, back, let's fast forward to verse 23. Jesus replied, All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and he will come and make our home with each of them. Make our home with each of them. Jesus, again, is setting this precedence for what God is going to look like in believers, in followers of him, in those that are obedient to him, in those that are walking with Jesus. He's looking at what this is going to look like in their life, that God is going to be present with them very, very specifically. He said, we will come and make our home with each person who loves and trusts Jesus. How? The physical presence of the Spirit of God dwells inside believers. That's kind of our big umbrella point for this morning, really for you to just like fully grasp the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells inside those that says, yes, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I have confessed that I am not perfect. I've asked that perfect Jesus to come and be my substitute, be my Savior. And Scripture calls it being saved. We say being all in with God, being no longer spiritually disconnected, being spiritually connected with God. And in that moment, Scripture really clearly says that you have one part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit then makes home in you as a believer to then empower you, to give you a purpose, to unlock your spiritual superpowers, i.e. your spiritual gifts, to then be learning continuously, to be actively a part of what God is specifically doing. And so he continues in verse 24, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I still am with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you, will remind you everything that I have told you. And so there's some of you might be here, and maybe you grew up in some other kind of religion, maybe where it was very much cerebral and just understanding, like, okay, if I can just be a better person, I'll be a part of what God is doing. Like, I'm a good person, and then maybe I could just do that and just like walk in that, and that's good. Well, what Jesus is really kind of saying here is if you haven't started a relationship with Jesus, you actually don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and you actually don't have any ability to really do anything that is kingdom driven. God can use you in certain ways, in certain areas, but as far as your being regenerated, you being like a child of God, it starts with salvation. That's a big church word. It starts with literally just welcoming Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. And then being empowered by the Holy Spirit, he says, the Spirit will remind you everything that I've taught you. The Advocate, this Holy Spirit who works in believers or from true followers of Jesus, he does in me what God the Father wants him to do. And he teaches us what God wants and reminds us of these things. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if there's anybody in here this morning that maybe hasn't just started that relationship with Jesus and you've been struggling in some way, shape, or form with like sin or temptation or just not doing the right thing and all those kinds of things, maybe it's a good question to ask, like, man, have I started a relationship with Jesus? Have I welcomed Jesus into my life? Or am I just going through the motions of coming to church or going and being here in this area or talking and I know who God is, but I don't know him in relationship. And if that's you, maybe it starts this morning specifically for you welcoming that relationship so that you can have that Holy Spirit that reminds you every step of the way what is true. John 16, a couple chapters later, this is before Jesus left. He says in chapter 16, verse 5, he says, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you, that I'm leaving. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and the coming judgment. Did you guys catch that? Jesus himself, resurrected Jesus, This is Jesus that's been to the grave, been to the cross, like, you know, like, is saying, like, it's better for me to go and the advocate come, the Holy Spirit come. Can you imagine if, like, Jesus was literally sitting next to you, and you're like, hey, I gotta go. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, well, no, trust me. It's better for me to go. Like, well, I'm talking to you right now. He's like, no, it's better for me to go. Can you wrap your head around that? Like, it's better for Jesus to go so that the comforter can come, the advocate can come. Why? Because it's a big, big, big picture. So before, to see God, to hear from God, it was actually following the laws of God, like in the Old Testament. It was following God's law. Like, that was kind of like how people, like, talked with God, was being godly. They were following the law. And it was following this specifically, but you'd have to go, like, find Jesus physically in this time to be able to kind of, like, talk. What Jesus is saying, now followers actually have the presence of God right at their access, right in their bed before they go to sleep, right in their living room in the middle of the night, right in their car when they're driving to work, right here, right now, as I'm talking about these specific words, even the Holy Spirit is active, helping you understand them. You have access to the creator of the universe through the person of his Holy Spirit. And if you follow Jesus, have welcomed Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, you actually are empowered by that access. Your brain is fired up by that Holy Spirit. Your heart is moved by that Holy Spirit. Transformation actually genuinely happens through the movement of that Holy Spirit. Like, you guys kind of like really mapping it out here. Like, when Jesus said it's better for me to go and for the advocate to come, like, yeah, I get that now. Like, you know what I mean? We have access to it. 24/7, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of God's people. And so I want to really, like, help you understand even further. Here's three things that we know about the Holy Spirit. One, he is the presence of God in me, in believers. Two, he is the gift of God for me, for you, for believers. He is the work of God through me, through you, through believers. And so let's talk about that. The presence of God in me. As we've just seen, the Spirit of God in you is the presence of God himself in you. And so people receive the Holy Spirit. After the moment in Acts 10, verse 44, when the Gentiles got, like, the Holy Spirit, like, there's different areas in Acts whenever the Holy Spirit kind of comes on specific people groups. And that last time when the Gentiles are people that were, like, pagans, didn't grow up in Judaism, or, like, didn't kind of have, like, their own gods or Roman gods, Greek gods, whatever it was. They were kind of called Gentiles, outsiders. When that people group got the Holy Spirit, from that point forward, at the moment that you said, hey, Jesus, yes, I would love you as my Lord and Savior, forgive me my sins, boom. Like, at that moment, you had access to the Holy Spirit. Now that the Jews and the Gentiles received, you know, salvation, received this, then on, people received the Holy Spirit at the moment. And so, just a little history, too. This was spoken about way back in the day. In Joel chapter 2, there's specific things about talking about the Holy Spirit. How do I know that this, he was talking about, like, specifically the Spirit of God, and, like, all this kind of stuff. Go read it. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. Go read it, and it's homework. It's, like, really long, and I don't have time to paraphrase. That's where my brain is like, oh, should I read it? No, I don't have time. Now I'm just talking, and so I'm wasting time. Go read it. Joel chapter 2. And it's talking about this coming of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that that was what was being talked about? Well, Peter in Acts chapter 2, he pointed to this passage of Scripture. He said, God has raised this Jesus to life. And in Acts chapter 2, he said, the Holy Spirit, it hits the scene, and Peter preaches, and thousands of people become followers of Christ. And he quotes Joel chapter 2, talking about how the Spirit is coming. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32 said, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Romans 8, verse 11. I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you, but I think it's so crucially important for you to really grasp the wholeness of what this means, because like in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, like this is us. You as believers, or if you're like curious about faith, like in saying yes to Jesus, like this is a pretty crucial thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Believers. We just celebrated Easter a couple weeks ago, like the resurrection of Jesus. Like, you guys ever known anybody that was resurrected after 3 days? No, me neither. It's kind of like a one in history type of thing. The only other time it happened, Jesus was there too. He called another guy named Lazarus out of the grave. But it says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what lives in you as believers. And so this is that gift of God for me, right? That's that second thing that we're talking about, the gift of God for me. That verse that we read earlier in John 16, verse 8, says his job, the Holy Spirit's job, these three things, convict of sin, convince of God's righteousness, and convert those that would, you know, be God's children to prepare for judgment. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. This Holy Spirit has an incredible job to do. Has there ever been a moment for you guys where you knew what it was that like God was really, really calling you to do or asking you to do, and like you like clenched your fists and like just ended up not doing it? You guys ever remember any of those moments? For me, whenever I was at church a couple years ago, and there was somebody that like I had met like 3 months before. They came to church for one time. We had like a conversation. They kind of sought me out after church and kind of just had a conversation. And then they came back 3 months later, and I saw them in the back, and they looked like they were kind of like a little sad and you know, kind of just like dealing with something. I'm like, oh no, I don't remember their name. I don't remember their name. I'm like, okay. Was it? No, it's not that. And in that moment, I was just like, all right, Lord, if you can give me, you know, you like bargain a little bit. Like, all right, God, if you can help me remember their name, I'll go talk to them. And I already started walking in that direction. And then, boop, popped right in my brain. I'm like, dang it. And so then I went and talked with them. Like, you ever remember those moments where, like, You kind of feel a pressing of like, man, I think I should do this. I think I should be a part of this. I think I should jump into this in this area. I think I should represent this. I think I should continue to learn this. Chances are, if it lines up with some specific things, it might be that pressing of the Holy Spirit. John 14 says that he gives us comfort and peace. That's specifically to whenever we face difficulty, we face hard times, we face specific things. I don't want to do it without the Spirit of God in my life, you know? I mean, it's not a matter of if troubles are going to happen or if hard times are going to happen. Like, it's a question of when. How do we do it without the Spirit of God? It's difficult. It's hard. We can't. And then we talk about the work of God through me. The work of God in me through his Holy Spirit doesn't stop on the day I turn from sin to follow Jesus. You guys ever wonder, like, when we talk about, like, starting a relationship with Jesus, why just in that moment we just don't go to heaven? Like, you know, that's kind of a good question to think about. Like, why isn't it that whenever we, if getting saved or starting a relationship with Jesus or going all in with God or not being spiritually disconnected anymore is the goal, then why doesn't it just, like, we just stop living at that moment? Well, because the Holy Spirit is empowering us for specific work. the work of God in and through us as the Holy Spirit continues to guide. It doesn't stop on that day whenever we get called. I'm thankful for that. I've mentioned the story in high school whenever I had started walking with Jesus and then kind of like had some temptations. AC/DC popped on the radio, Key Chain. I'm so thankful that I'm not the same high school kid now standing in front of you. Why? How is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit continues to work and guide and lead. Aren't you thankful that you're not anybody that's in here that's been walking with the Lord for a while, and that's been walking with Jesus for a while? Like, aren't you so thankful that you aren't the same person whenever you started walking with Jesus? Here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit gives boldness to share faith. That's in Acts 1. It gives an understanding of God's word that's specifically mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It helps us resist temptation. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It makes me a unique contribution to his kingdom. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It gives a desire to obey God as well. That's what Philippians 2:13 says. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. A lot of time, like, students would ask me whenever I was in student ministry, like, hey, what do I do with my life? Like, oh, that's a great question. How many of you guys have asked that even now, like within, like recently? What do I do with my life? Like, there'll be a time whenever you retire, you'd be like, what do I do with my life? There'll be a time whenever you like have like some difficulty at work, or like maybe there's some things that are unbearable with like at your current job. And you're like, man, what do I do with my life? There'll be times whenever you like whenever you are about to have a kid, you'll be like, what do I do with my life? Or there'll be a time whenever your kid grows up and you're like, what do I do with their life and my life? Like, there's gonna be times, like, no matter if you're a student getting ready to graduate from high school, what do I do with my life? Or whether you're a kid downstairs and you don't even really truly grasp that question, but you know that question's coming. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God specifically wired you and created you for good work. And the Holy Spirit just kind of unlocks that. And so there's sometimes that some of you guys might actually even be in these seats right now, like knowing what God has specifically called of you. Like, man, knowing that, man, Rob keeps talking about these life groups. And I don't know, this is like really scary to just like get out of my comfort zone and go and be like in a house or a place with people that I don't know yet. Ooh, Rob keeps talking about like these areas of service and teams, where every team in Grace Church Norton needs more volunteers. Our kids team needs more volunteers. Our First Impressions team needs more volunteers. Worship and media needs more volunteers. Our parking squad, our prayer squad that we want to launch, all needs more volunteers. Man, Rob keeps talking about that. Like, or maybe it's just simply welcoming Jesus as your Lord. Man, Rob keeps talking about that. And like, you know, that's your next step of faith. God's going to continue to put that in front of you. We just pray that you have the boldness to be able to walk through those things. And so as we land today, I want you to know a couple things that the Holy Spirit doesn't do. I think this is really clear because in these moments of like, God told me to, I'm really weary of that comment. Because there's been times where people have come up to me and say, hey, God told me, and I just think to myself, God didn't tell me that. And so sometimes whenever we're trying to figure out these things, we're trying to grasp what are our feelings, which feelings are real. This is a great quote to remember always. Feelings are real, but they're not trustworthy. God created feelings, but sometimes our flesh is wrapped around those things. Feelings are real, but they're not always trustworthy. What are my feelings, or what is it that God's voice, trying to discern what it is that God is really leading? Is it me just feeling something, or is God maybe prompting me to do something to then go receive a no so I get that out of my brain? Well, here's the things that the Holy Spirit doesn't do. The three ways that the Holy Spirit will lead me to please God. He's He's going to lead me with time in God's word. If it's not in God's word, that's probably not the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's also going to lead me in counsel of other Christians, other believers, mature Christians. I would say, like, go and seek your wise counsel. Like Proverbs said, like, blessed are those with many counselors. Like, have to have many counselors in your life, those that are speaking words of wisdom. Usually, if God is specifically telling you to do something, he's going to confirm that with other believers in your life. It's kind of like this confirmation thing. One thing that's beautiful in that is if you're married, that's kind of one of those things. It's a really good thing. Like, God will normally, not normally, God will always have the husband and wife, you know, that are both believers, kind of confirmed on specific decisions and things. That's how me and Jenny got here. I wouldn't have moved my family here if it wasn't for Jenny saying, let's go to New England. Let's go run hard for the Lord. She's like holding onto the couch, like, ah, don't take me. I'm like, I'm not going to be dragging her legs across the living room. We're going to New England right now. He leads me in counsel with other Christians. And so if there are things that you're wrestling with, your faith, it's personal, but it's not private. Your faith is personal, but it's not private. Share your faith with others that you trust to be able to speak wise counsel. He's going to lead us through counsel of other Christians. And the last thing that the Spirit does, he leads me with prompting towards selflessness and generosity. Any of the things that kind of like don't really have selflessness attached, or maybe generosity of our time, our treasures, and our talents, it could be some great things to go take to wise counsel and go take to God's word, because it's going to always, always line up in those things. And then, like I said, the things that the Holy Spirit will never do, there's two more. I got more. It's good. It keeps coming. Two things that the Holy Spirit will never do is he's going to never lead you contrary to the word of God in any way. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to lead you in a way that's like, I said that there, but like this is what I want you to do. It's going to be lined up and specific within God's word. So things like marriage, things like your specific gifts, things like with prayer or your giving, or it's going to line up with God's word. He's not going to call you contrary to that. And two, he's not going to tempt you to sin against God or others. He's not going to lead you here like, okay, I want you to do this and then completely destroy all the rest of the people in your life for it. That's a little something called manifesting, and that's a New Age spiritual thought. So if you've ever heard that in your workplace, I just want to manifest this or anything like that, that's actually what will destroy everything around you to get what you're after. It's not biblical. It's not anything that's actually real. It's called sin. And so in this time, I think I'm beating a dead horse at this moment. You guys understand that the Holy Spirit's pretty important. You guys understand, like, the personage of the Holy Spirit is one that, like, empowers and gives and continues to lead in the life of believers. I want you to know Jesus. That's my prayer for this church every single week. Every time I think about this place, I pray for specifically individuals in this room to know and love Jesus. And then as you know and love Jesus, you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to then do the work of God. That's my prayer specifically for you. Over the years in student ministry, students would ask the question relentlessly, how do I know what God wants me to do? It's the first question that we ask. How do I know what God wants me to do? Here's what I say. Pray first. Confess your sin and ask for direction. Pray. Talk to the God of the universe that wants to hear from you, not just to hear from you, but to talk to it with you. Then ask the question, what does the Bible say? Are you not knowledgeable in the Bible? That's okay. There's great tools and resources that are available right here at Grace Church. Whether it's me, anybody on the stage, life group leaders as you jump into a life group, text in, a counseling ministry, resources on a wall, books, all the things that can point you in the right directions to help you learn God's word. You don't have to be a scholar of God's word, but you can be a student of it. Be a student of God's word. Next thing I tell them is, what other godly people say in your life? What is it that other godly people are saying in your life about you, or what you would be maybe wanting to do? And then last, what do you want to do? Because God will give us the desires of our heart. Like, that's what kind of what one of the passages says. But again, if our heart is wickedly deceitful, who can know it? For not giving our heart over to the creator of the universe. Again, remember? And those wise counsel, our heart is going to lead us astray every single time. And so if I get the exact same advice from two different people, probably it's going to be some good stuff. They're godly people. So let's land the plane. Let me ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes. Thanks for going through this content. This is excellent stuff. If there's any questions that you guys have on this topic, we'd love to, again, point you to a text number after this. Let me just pray for us, and then we'll be able to continue in a time of singing. But if you feel like you are far from God, but you don't want to be distant anymore, I just want to tell you that God's Spirit probably put you right here in this room to hear this. God's Spirit is working on you. John 6:44 says, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up." So how does he draw people? He draws people through his Spirit. You don't have to stay distant from God anymore. So maybe you just have this time of reflection right now. That's what this is for. As we go into this last song to be able to sing, this is a time of reflection. Where are you right now? If you are a child of God, what's the Spirit saying to you right now? What act of obedience is he calling you to stop ignoring? Or what act of disobedience is he calling you to turn away from that you've ignored? What bold act of faith has he presented you with that you've been hesitant on? Believers, he's calling us to just give over our yes. And through that yes, man, he gives so much through his Spirit. If you're at a crossroads and you just need God's direction, just challenge you, ask him. Read relevant passages of Scripture, get wise counsel from godly people, invite godly mentors to speak advice into your life in life groups. We have, that's a model that we have right here. And so you can text a number of life groups. You can fill out a connection card that you probably got when you walked in. If you want to join a life group, if you want to join an area service, there are so many ways to be able to get involved. Maybe it just takes that boldness right now in this moment to know that I need it. And whenever you're ready, jump. Because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to guide and lead. God, we are so thankful for who you are and what you do. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be active. We already know that you will. So Lord, your Holy Spirit is in this moment, even right now, guiding and leading. I pray for those that don't know you in this room, that they would welcome you as their Lord, as your Lord. God, I pray that you would continue to move in our lives. I know that there's the spiritual disconnection. We know when we've been disconnected from you, and you've put us here to hear this. Lord, I pray that you would give the boldness to all of us to take the next step of faith, whether that's life groups or jumping into a team to serve here at Grace, or any of the areas and avenues that we'll be able to continue to launch and being a resource for our community, those different ministries. Lord, I just pray that we would be bold this morning. Share with us what it is that's our spiritual next step. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.